Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action for Mark Bulger, firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger to Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two. Good textual relations today. We're talking about why we criticize the unknown. It's sports related because Tim Tebow and Kyler Murray, but I mean, it kind of is a wide landscape that this thing happens with. But it happens all the time. We just criticize guys like Tim Tebow and Baker Mayfield Kyler Murray because we don't know. And then this texture, it's a good one to kind of end it on for this hour, is I find inspirational in Baker Mayfield. Walk on twice at two different major colleges and got the job done. Tim Tebow gets knocked down and just keeps getting back up. It's good for everybody to watch.
I have a deep-rooted question for all of you out there. Is there somebody you enjoy criticizing more than anyone else in sports? And this is simple to me, and it's very quick and easy, and it just goes bang right in my head, and it's James Harden. I respect the heck out of it. Game is amazing. Unbelievably talented, but boy, do I enjoy criticizing it, because it makes no sense to me why you're still in the game to get a 31 in a row when you need 11 points in the fourth quarter. It makes no sense to me.
You're up by 20.
Doesn't make any sense to me. And then you come on national media and say, well, it's what I need to do to help my team win after you're up by 20.
Yeah.
There is a fake facade to that. I can see through. I feel like I can see through it. I'm not criticizing his talent level. I'm criticizing why he's doing it. What is his true agenda?
Well, with Harden, he said he doesn't like hero ball. Like, he told Steph Curry, hero ball isn't for him. He doesn't want to do it. BS.
Yeah. No, I just think he does. His means are that he's like, this is what I have to do to win. Well, it's what he feels he has to do to win. So that's the one I also enjoy criticizing J.J. Redick. I still respect his shot because he's an elite shooter. But I am jealous I can't be J.J. Redick from the side of the 76ers and come off the bench and not create my own shot ever.
He starts. J.J.'s a starter.
I'm just saying, can I come off the bench somewhere?
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Right.
Well, guy who gets criticized, and I can't understand really why on the court stuff, is LeBron. You know? Like, LeBron is one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen, but everybody wants to find a way to knock him down a peg and say, well, you're not Jordan, you're not Kobe. And it's like, dude, what does he need to do?
No, he doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't need everyone else's. That's the thing, is you don't wake up every day and need everyone else's adoration to make sure you're great. Well,
and yeah, LeBron is not a good GM either. I think we can kind of throw that one out there.
Yeah. Well, he's got three championships. It's not bad.
Yeah, well.
Three more than we got.
Nah, speak for yourself.
You haven't got anything.
Yeah.
You got any championships.
Dude, I won two intramural championships. I won state little league, one state championship there. So I got three, too.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Suck on that. Mm-hmm. Three championships.
You have your wall of Gaylord also in the house?
I do. Okay. I do have the wall of... Didn't they call it the wall of gay? Because his
name
is
Gaylord.
No, it's
wall of Gaylord.
Yeah, I do. I have that. All my brown ribbons from taking eight. The ninth place doesn't get a ribbon, Cam. It's eighth place, and it gets brown. All right. Coming up this hour, Antonio Brown back on it. We will discuss also towels this hour, but right now it's 7:08.
What's hot?
Spooking.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. compelling, and rich.
Brought to you on The Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
All right, Civil War action over the weekend in basketball. The women played on Friday in Eugene, where the Ducks beat the Beavers. The number 2-ranked Oregon Ducks beat the number 12-ranked Beavers. And then they played again last night on ESPN2. They played twice in 4 days.
And the Beavs won.
The Beavs won 67-62, knocking off the second-ranked Ducks. As Buck has been telling you in the updates, it's the end of the longest win streak in the nation, 17 games for Oregon. But for the Beavers, it's win number 200 for Scott Ruick, the head coach of the Beavs women's basketball program, taking over what was, as Alvin Gentry would call it, a dumpster fire. And he's turned that thing into a perennial top 25 team. And then on the men's side, on Saturday, we saw the Oregon Ducks fall right here on The Fan to the Beavs in Corvallis, 72-57. So Oregon State sole possession of second place on the men's side. So a lot of Civil War hoops this past weekend. Giddy up. You're as cold as ice. Our little baseball action here. Though he hasn't even hit free agency and doesn't for another year, Angels and Mike Trout reportedly in contract extension talks. Do you think Bryce Harper and Manny Machado hitting free agency and nothing being there may be a signal to guys that re-signing with your team might be the best deal that you get?
I don't know who holds the leverage on this. I believe Mike Trout does because he's the best player in baseball. I mean, he and Mookie Betts are my two favorites. I mean, those guys are incredible. They're both in the same side of the ball, so that, I guess that doesn't help the National League, but... Yeah, no, it could be. I think agents are smart. They're trying to get ahead of the curve. And when you're locked in, maybe they can negotiate $500 million for Mike Trout.
Well, and if we sit there and we remember, you know, Bryce Harper was talking the big talk. You know, he was going to be the $500 million guy. The Nationals offer him 10 years and $300 million in what was a down year for him. And he turned it down. And now he's still unsigned.
Yep.
You know, so we may see a little bit of a shift in that regard. How about this? Back-to-back baseball topics. Giants skipper Bruce Bochy announced yesterday he'll hang it up after this season. 12 seasons as the Giants manager, he's won 3 World Series, sits 11th all-time, just 82 wins behind Lou Durocher for 10th all-time.
Well, that's too bad, Giants fans, because it's an odd year, so you ain't winning the title.
Ooh.
Sorry, Buck. Sorry, rest of you Giants fans. Odd year.
It's all right. They'll sign Bryce Harper and Bruce Bochy will win the whole thing and ride off into the sunset.
Ride off into the sunset on an odd year. It's not happening.
Probably not.
There's a lot of Giants fans sitting there saying that, or with the thought, even though Bochy didn't mention it, that the new GM, what's his name,
Farhan Zaidi.
He is kind of running off Bochy because Bochy's an old-school guy. He
puts things on paper. Heaven forbid you use paper.
And the new GM is totally analytics and thinking that they're running off one of the best GMs in baseball. Though,
how many championships has the Oakland A's won? All that, all those analytics that they want.
Yeah, but the Red Sox, Astros, and Cubs do a really good job of using analytics to win.
What else do you need?
You need stars.
You need talent. Money. M-O-N-E-Y, and Oakland doesn't have any.
No, they just
money
choose
and analytics.
Not to spend it.
Money.
All right, we briefly discussed it earlier, but short shorts are coming back to the PGA Tour in practice rounds and pro-am events, which is good. You'll be able to see Phil Mickelson's calves. How about the controversy at the Genesis Open, though?
Which part?
Well, JB Holmes.
Yeah, JB.
He's getting criticized by, I don't know, everyone.
He had brain surgery not too long ago. Incredible comeback for him, those of you who don't know.
Well, he takes a really long time to play.
He is slow.
And it got to the point where a caddy took a folding chair off the tee box and in the middle of the fairway, sat the chair down and folded his arms and watched JB Holmes finish out the hole because it was taking so long.
There's some really egregious guys. Oregon's own Ben Crane, known for one of the very slow players. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's ever picked up his pace. There's been a couple guys, and yeah, he's a little slow. JB's got a little back and forth that he goes through.
What's the other weird thing that happened in that event?
They started over the tournament, if you don't know.
Oh, yeah, on Thursday because of the cold and the
rain.
Tiger
made a run. He was running at 59 on Saturday.
Jeez. My God. Well, then what happened?
Well, he just couldn't finish it at 59.
couldn't finish. It's a really good score.
Well, Jordan Spieth, but it was Justin Thomas who ended up kind of just flailing at the end and didn't quite finish strong enough.
Mm. All right.
And he hit a shank. I love it when pros hit shanks.
Makes you feel
he
like...
He shanked, I think, a wedge.
Not that bad.
It was bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, by the way, another golf note. Tony Romo will play in the Byron Nelson on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So...
In Texas?
Watch out now.
I think he played in it last year.
Is that one on CBS? Because I'm... I would assume that
one. I think it is.
The All-Star break in the NBA is still ongoing, folks. For those that wonder when the NBA resumes, it will be Thursday, and the Portland Trail Blazers will be in action as they hit the road for, I think, like the next month, basically. They have like one home game where they come back, and I think 8 of their next 9 are on the road. They take on the Brooklyn Nets, 4:30 on Thursday, as you'll be able to see... 3-point contest winner, Joe Harris. Now we'll be able to know who it is who's bearing threes against the Blazers. But other than that, across the NBA, no real big news in any landmark movement except for what we discussed earlier this segment. James Harden saying that he doesn't want to play hero ball any longer. That bodes well for the Rockets, right?
Well, it's because Chris Paul's back.
And he doesn't need to score 30.
Well, he doesn't need to score 30. Or does he?
That's what's hot and cool on the Fan, and it's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Go to areaheating.com right now to get discount qualifying offers on Trane equipment. Coming up next, Antonio Brown is back at it. He wants a new nickname, and he goes after Ben Roethlisberger. 7:15 on the Fan. All right. Antonio Brown back at it over the weekend. After taking headlines and demanding a trade last week and saying his goodbyes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, we found out that he'll actually be meeting with the owner of the Steelers this week. But he went on a little Twitter and Instagram palooza over the weekend. Mm. Did you hear his new nickname that he wants to be called?
No.
I think it's, what, Mr. Chest? Mr. Chest, I think is what he wants to be called.
I had not heard this.
Did he say it publicly?
He said it in like a 9-minute random kind of
I heard he was
video.
On the treadmill or on the elliptical, sweating it.
Yeah.
And getting after it.
Yeah, he's a different bird. Is he losing? Like, is this something that we should be worried about?
He's been like this his entire life. Every social media post, he's always like, that is no different.
Yeah.
It's
Mr. Big Chest is what he wants to be called.
Mr. Big Chest.
He wants to be called Mr. Big Chest. This comes on the heels of a Q&A that he did, and he answered a question about Ben Roethlisberger and the relationship that he has with Ben Roethlisberger. And he replied, it's not a conflict. It's just a matter of respect, mutual respect. He has the owner mentality. Like, he can call everybody out, including coaches. Players know, but they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, their meal ticket's gone. It's a dirty game within a game.
Yeah. All right.
Are we letting Ben Roethlisberger skate a little bit too much on what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers and kind of the downhill spiral that they're in?
Is there any point in time you're surprised that this is how Ben Roethlisberger's been his entire career? From the first time he stepped in as a rookie and all the way until now? No, this is not news. He gives you that kind of... post-game kind of, I'm talking down to you. This is what we need to do, and our coaches need to be better with all this and how he does that. I mean, he just carries himself that way. So AB's like, dude, man, this is the pot calling the kettle black. You're going to stand up in front of all of us, and you're going to be this guy that's untouchable. And then suddenly when there's a couple problems, it's like the fingers come out. I've never heard Ben really criticize himself to the point where taking it on him.
Yeah. We don't see other quarterbacks do what Big Ben does, but we see different iterations of it. Like the big difference between what Ben Roethlisberger does and what a lot of pros do in football is he does a lot of his stuff. He doesn't do it on social media, but he does it on like a radio show. And remember when he was questioning the effort and he's questioned coaching?
Yeah.
He does that in an interview forum on the radio.
I got no problems with it. I really don't. I just be you, man. It's already won him 2 titles. He's a Hall of Famer. And he's at the end of his era where he's trying to surround himself with different types of guys. So if he doesn't like it, fine. Air the dirty laundry. It's fine with me. Whatever works with you.
Doesn't that, though, I mean, how many quarterbacks have we seen have the success that Ben Roethlisberger's had in kind of handling their business this way and not keeping things internal?
What do you mean?
Think of these guys that, like, Big Ben has won two titles, like you just said, put together a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, two titles is a very difficult thing to do. When you look at guys like Brady.
Eli Manning.
Even right. Eli Manning, he doesn't say anything.
That's the thing. That's the difference. He's completely on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Not going to give you anything.
Yeah. And even, I mean, it's interesting. Aaron Rodgers is a good comparison, isn't it? To what Big Ben in the success, yeah. Having a success, but not.
They're both a little passive aggressive when it comes to it. They're both have a little bit of LeBron in them. You know, kind of bigger than the room. I'm in control. I'm the big guy here, which I like the confidence. There is. There's just a couple of ways to do it. There's so many different ways to skin a cat, but when it comes down on Sundays, these guys both ball, and they all get that part, and you want them leading your franchise. How they lead is based upon what your coach and what the attitude the coach has given off. So Mike Tomlin's allowing this kind of leadership by Roethlisberger, and it's not seriously, it's not meshing with AB.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Big Chest.
Thank you. Call the man what he wants to be called.
Very sorry.
But wouldn't we say that Aaron Rodgers is more just like aggressive? Because he will just call out, like when he called out all of his wide receivers and said that they're not in the spot that they... I mean, that's not being passive about it. You're literally just calling them out and being like, come on, be better than what you are right now. Where Big Ben does tend to be a little bit more passive aggressive, which won't fly as well.
Yeah, that message wasn't for the rookies. That message was for an organization.
Yeah.
When Ben Roethlisberger does it, it feels like it's a little bit of butt-hurtedness. When Aaron Rodgers does it, it's like, you guys suck. Bring me some players because I'm tired of carrying this franchise. Depends on how, I mean, they're both angry, or they're both, Ben's a little more passive-aggressive in my mind. A little bit more. A little more drama. Aaron has that. Aaron Rodgers has that. Okay, I'm stuck here in Green Bay, by the way, which is nobody wants to come here.
No.
Have you ever been here in December? Sorry, if you're from there, don't be butthurt about it, or don't be upset because
it's cold.
It's awful. It's awful to live there in the winter. It's awful. So he's going, bring me some players.
Yeah. Well, and here's the big difference between that passive aggressive and at least the straight up is that when guys leave Green Bay, you don't hear a lot of the knocking down of Aaron Rodgers. Who was it that just retired? Was it Julius Peppers? And one of the people that he praised, and he praised very few people, was Aaron Rodgers for being real and putting it all out there. Whereas Big Ben, we're seeing Antonio Brown is happy to leave. And Le'Veon Bell is just like, I'm done with it. And the finger pointing and the dysfunction in the franchise. And Big Ben is kind of getting the ire of his former teammates, which the big thing here, Steelers could be in quite a pickle. Because last week, Jay Glazer was asked to make a bold prediction. He said Odell Beckham will get traded. Do you see what came out over the weekend about?
I don't believe any of that.
Apparently, the Patriots have reached out to the Giants about trading for him. Mm-hmm. And then it's reignited talks with the San Francisco 49ers about making a package where Odell Beckham gets dealt too. And so if you have two marquee receivers on the trade market...
I don't believe that.
What does that look like?
I think the Giants have been making a massive mistake, but that's just me. That's just me. It's up to them. You don't get guys like Odell Beckham, just don't come walking off the street.
So you're putting Antonio Brown head and shoulders ahead of Odell Beckham then?
No. I think Odell Beckham is better.
Yeah.
I think he's better, first of all, because he's younger. And if the Patriots are knocking on your door, what do the Patriots do when they come knocking on your door with a trade?
Rip you off.
They fleece you! They take everything from you. It's like when Danny Ainge calls you, you know you're going to get ripped off.
Can we just say don't answer calls from the city of Boston?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know what the Brooklyn, or sorry, Brooklyn, but the
607
Boston,
or something.
Yeah, what the hockey team is doing. Certainly, who are the Revolution, if the soccer team's going to get you.
Red Sox.
And certainly the Red Sox are going to take something from you. Yet if the Giants trade Odell Beckham to the Patriots, they're coming in and be like, hey, you know, you guys happy with Odell Beckham? Yeah, we're a little frustrated. Okay. All right. Because it's an Odell Beckham problem. No, it's a quarterback problem. You have an old quarterback.
Well, if you're New York, maybe are you sitting there and you're going,
I don't know,
we can retool and become better quicker if we get his, if we get a contract off
of the Bucks? I don't have that answer. You know? I just know you don't have Odell Beckham sitting around. They're just not, those guys aren't, those are difference makers.
And you don't trade them unless they're absolutely disgruntled to the point of where Antonio Brown is.
Yes.
So on that note, in that line of thinking, then that could actually benefit the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Odell Beckham really isn't going to be traded and you don't believe that is, then at least you're generating a market for teams that want to go out and get a game-changing wide receiver and what they'd be willing to give up. You know, like this, if the Odell Beckham trade is real and he does get dealt, then we could be sitting at that hurts the Steelers, but it could really help them if it's all a bluff because teams are starting to think about it and what the market will be for a game-changing and potentially
we do this every single year as the draft starts to load up, and this year it's in Nashville, which is pretty cool. That's exciting to see. As everybody loads up to try to just make a push at the number one and who has number one, Arizona, then all these top picks and everyone's going to try to jockey and shuffle. We're going to get all excited. And what's going to happen?
Probably nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
All right.
Sorry. It's a deflation right there. Got you all worked up.
Well, no.
Those top five picks are too important now.
Well, at this point in the season, we were sitting there and we were talking about Odell Beckham last year. And he was gone, quote unquote, gone from the New York Giants. And that ended up being a big nothing burger. But as it pertains to the NFL and things that will happen today,
you have Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham, two of the most elite young superstars in this league. And you're going to get rid of them. Get rid of one of them?
Well, you might. Because
it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't carry any weight with me on this one.
That you get rid of one of your best players?
Never.
And you're
unless it's a serious Percy Harvin issue, kind of that's the only way I could look at it. Unless there's something internally that's even worse off than all of us would know him, because that's the kind of Percy Harvin guy was when he was in Minnesota.
Right.
And then certainly that just played out the rest of his career along with injuries. But you don't know.
All right, we've got some more football stuff. It is franchise tag day in the NFL, the first day that teams can hand those out. And the AAF, the Alliance, is just 2 weeks in, but are they really falling on hard times? Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, it is Tuesday. We are back, yes. I think we may have been the only show that notified people on our station that we were going to be gone on Monday.
If you didn't know, that's a you problem.
We told you. But sure enough, we logged into the Better You Today text line today.
Our company said,
where's everybody at?
Our company said to take a day off. And who's the one that's going to turn that down?
Not me.
Not one to say no to that.
We labor on Labor Day.
Yes, we do.
We
hang out on Black Friday.
We do work on Black Friday after Thanksgiving. MLK Day, we have to work because it's after the championship weekend in football. I mean, there's a lot.
So we took the President's Day.
Yeah, we took President's Day.
President's.
It's a company holiday. So sorry we weren't with you. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. I had a great day yesterday.
I did too.
I had a great weekend. But to make it up to you, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do right now?
Are you going to give something away?
You're dang right I am.
Ooh. Do you have a number that works?
I sure hope so.
I mean, maybe we could try one of the two. You know what? I will
have the proper number, Mr. Hara.
Why don't we table that for now? I will find out which of those numbers works, and then we will get
No, ahead. No. No, I know what number works.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Caller number five at 866-358-1080. 866-358-1080. Caller number five will win a pair of tickets to the Portland Golf Show February 22nd through the 24th out at the Oregon Convention Center. You can shop the Fiddler's Green Sale, play the Tonkin Alfa Romeo long putt, and much more at go to portlandgolfshow.com. 866-358-1080. There we go. Phones are lighting up right now.
Are they?
So they seem to work.
Okay.
I told you. I had this one dialed in. Portland Golf Show coming up this weekend. Again, go to portlandgolfshow.com.
That's the toll-free version. Do we have a city version, too?
Do you need toll-free anymore?
That's a great question because someone did that to me the other day. And by the way, you said 866. You didn't say 1-866. Do you just dial 866 or do you have to dial 1-866?
I don't think you need to do that anymore.
These are all confusing things.
It's not 1998 anymore. We don't
have
to dial 1.
Do you remember when it was long distance? Oh, everything was 1010, whatever. Remember the 1010, 220 thing? Yeah. Or was it 220? 1010 something.
No.
You dial 10 and then the number 10, and then you get like a special rate. See, those of you out there are going to remember this.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Remember when long distance was 5 miles away?
A calling card was a thing?
Yeah, that was... Long distance would have been... I lived in Cedar Woolley, but long distance was calling Anacortes, which is literally 20 miles away.
Speaking Latin right
now. Long distance.
Yeah, that was basically what we had to. Yeah. And then
all those people that call within their neighborhood.
The big change was your area code wasn't a local calling, because everything that used to be in your area code used to be local.
Yeah, when the 360 came in, baby, it was all 206.
And we had 541. Came to ruin things.
541, 503. What's a better area code? You know, when you do live Seinfeld in New York, you want a 212. You need a 212 number.
I think 503 is more prestigious
better.
In the state.
541's not cool around here.
Well, in the Portland area, you could also have a 971, which is...
Yeah, what is that?
Throws everybody off a little
bit. Where's 971?
I don't know. We don't need that. It's Portland.
So 503...
971. Those are both... My voice just cracked. Puberty stuff.
541.
Yeah, and 971.
When I see 541, I think of Lake Oswego. Why?
No.
Is that my stereotype?
No idea. Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
That's definitely not a 541. Why in the world would
I
you
don't,
think that?
I have no idea why. I don't. I don't. 503, I think of everybody on the outside. The 503.
But that's the inside. The outside is the 541. All right. Now, that was area code talk. Now we talk sports. The AAF week two just went final. Our two teams are undefeated still.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks team continues to be defeated. Mike Singletary's Memphis Express blew a lead to your Arizona Hotshots. You're 2-0.
2-0.
You are 2-0, and my Orlando Apollos are 2-0. But this is a big story, and it could spell doom for the Alliance of American Football. According to a report from The Athletic, this week, heading into week two, there was a possibility of the league missing payroll before week two. And they needed to get $250 million from Dallas and businessmen and Carolina Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon in order to make their payroll.
I have a theory to this. I have a theory to why this is coming out. I believe that the start of this league and the initial investors wanted to prove the model in the first 2 weeks some way, somehow, to their outside investors.
Okay.
To, number one, prove eyes, so that ratings, interest level, media interest level. From fan perspectives and from everybody in the outside that is looking at it, because they, I in my gut, they're trying to sell this to the NFL as a developmental league.
Yes. Oh, no doubt about it.
To take the NFL's investment, and they're trying to say, hey, guys, we'll sell this to you for $500 million? Whatever. I don't know what the number is, because the injection of revenue just came in at $250 million to make their payrolls and all the other things they had to do. Because I think the guys get a blanket $83,000? For the season, it's literally $7,000 a game, something like that.
Yeah, have you heard what some of these coaches are getting paid?
No, what are they getting paid?
It's pretty significant.
What's significant?
There are like upwards of $250,000 a year.
They're former head coaches. They're big time coaches. It's not like Mike Martz is a no namer.
Well, I know that, but Mark Martz has been out of the game for a long time.
Mark.
What did I say?
You said Mark Martz.
Mike Martz.
Mike.
He's been out of the game for so long. It's not like he's getting that money anywhere else. I mean, but that's the whole vision.
He's doing just fine.
The whole vision of the AAF is to have good coaching, a good structure that develops talent for the NFL.
Sure, and that's what they're trying to do. I do believe that they had to prove the model to the investors. And now that the investors look at it and go, okay, this is a model improvement, he becomes, who is the NHL owner that just did this?
Dundon.
Yeah, Dundon now becomes the CEO.
Yeah, he's the chairman of the board now.
Yeah, he just buy that cash injection, which means it's part of his portfolio. So when he goes to sell, he'll recoup not only his $250 million investment, he might get a stake in a few things moving forward.
Well, I'm not going to lie. It is a little concerning about the long-term health of what this league is if after just 2 weeks you're talking about not being able to make payroll. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you're able to lure a big fish like that and get him to dump in $250 million is good news. And how about the attendance numbers for the San Antonio Commanders, Mike Riley's team? Mm-hmm. 29,000 fans.
Well, they love football down there. San Antonio doesn't. What's their best football?
University of Texas, San Antonio.
There it is. Is Croker still the coach?
Larry Coker was coach. I don't think he is anymore.
He's not coaching.
I think Larry Coker's not there anymore. But
that's their best. They love football. Well, Texas loves football.
University of Texas is right up the road, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not like in San Antonio.
Yeah. But then there's Memphis, which can barely draw anything. Yeah. Like they had horrible attendance for their games. Mm-hmm. It is a little worrisome that when you look at it that way, but if you're talking about the NFL, you're actually starting to see some guys that you'll see. That Charles Johnson dude for Orlando had 200 yards receiving almost. Mm-hmm. And if it could be worth it for the NFL, they could sell this thing for $500
And you
million.
Said it earlier too. I think everybody's noticing it that watches football is the offensive line is the one that needs the most help going into this. Offensive line is struggling in football because you don't have the amount of reps anymore. I can be a wide receiver. I can play 7-on-7. I can be a quarterback. I can be a stand-up tight end and still learn. But that in-line blocking and those things for offensive line play is super critical for the development of football moving forward. And you just don't get the kind of contact anymore. So how can offensive line, and we start to develop more and more players in not just offseason when you can't hit? You can't hit in the NFL anymore as much. And in training camp, you can't hit in the offseason. How are these guys going to develop? Offensive line is hurting, but these are some of the solutions they're trying to work around. And the NFL is going to have a workaround eventually because you have to hit to get better at it. Because last time I checked, the game is a contact sport.
It will take a long time for an offensive lineman to develop. I think that this is more of a years type thing to where you're developing that pipeline of talent as opposed to just a couple of weeks and expecting it to be all of a sudden a lot better, you know? You think it can happen just in one season, you develop an offensive lineman enough to where he's ready for the NFL?
I think so. I think 9 games of full contact speed with the practice and the development of footwork. And yes, I completely believe that there's going to be guys that come in certainly farther advanced than they would have been. And they're going to get shots in training camps. Now, will you get an all-pro guy? No, but you'll get a quality backup. You'll get somebody in there you feel comfortable because he's got some good reps in at full speed. Game reps are just not, I mean, you can't take those for granted at all. Game reps are awesome for your development.
And here's where I also say it's a years thing too, is because if you look at it, offensive linemen, they go to the NFL and if they don't work out, their career's over. You know, it's like you're done. Yeah. And you stop playing.
We're going to get 2 leagues.
And what we're going to have is there won't be that gap where guys take a couple years off and then they can all of a sudden get back into it. You're going to have guys going straight from the NFL to the AAF or the XFL, and then you won't have that. Right now, there's a huge disparity because some of these guys literally haven't played football in over a year.
Yeah.
And so as you kind of have that circulation of guys going to the NFL and the AAF or XFL or whatever, that will inherently
I tell you, if you're a young better. Player, up-and-comer, and you get a chance to be in this league, you're taking this like there's no tomorrow.
Also, the National Federation of High School Sports released a report last week saying that catastrophic injuries are lowest that they've ever recorded in high school football.
Yep.
So these things are good improvements to see.
Good improvements? They're fantastic.
Okay. They're fantastic.
Fantastic
improvements. I've got a question for you. This question took over social media Sunday night and into Monday, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. Next on The Fan. All right. Life is about little successes, and our first success today was the phone worked, and I remembered the number. So we're going to keep rolling with our little successes in life and keep rolling it over segment by segment. It's not on the wall.
Yeah, I turned around. I was wondering if you were cheating.
I was not. I was not. Did you see the story that took over social media over the weekend was not about anything sports related or really politics or celebrity death? It was about towels. It was about towels, my friend.
Okay.
A question was asked. Hello, fellow adults. My girlfriend and I have a question. What is the correct amount of towels to own? I said 10, and she looked at me like I was crazy. We have 0 frame of reference for the appropriate amount of towels in the household of 2.
6.
This went viral. This went viral. 6?
6 is, for a couple of 2, 6.
Okay,
2.
So You have
three each, and you probably go one a week, and then rotate.
It's not a bad number. Well, how about this from Yashir Ali, which really made this thing go viral? He has got 341,000 followers on Twitter. He is a freelance journalist for The New Yorker and Huffington Post, I believe, he writes for. His response is mind-boggling.
Yeah?
10 bath sheets, 10 bath towels, 10 hand towels, and 20 washcloths, preferably more, his response.
Well, he must be a one-a-day person.
You just use it and forget it.
That's super egregious when it comes to water consumption.
Because one shower a day?
No, washing one set of clothes per day or towels. You know how much water he's using to wash all those things?
Oh, no. I think the moral of the story is here. He never has to wash them because he has 500.
Do you think he just throws them away by the time you're done?
He goes Allen Iverson.
When he gets a little stiff, you're like, I think this one's getting a little bit...
There's muggy. Nothing worse than when you hold onto a towel for too long and it starts becoming a little rough. And for whatever reason, you just don't throw it away.
Yeah, you get rid of it.
You know?
Supposed to.
But how? You say six. If you have two people, you have six. So
yeah, I have six. The reason why I say six is because we have six. My wife and I have six.
And that's all you?
And wait, the boys have just the boys adult? Have four.
Okay.
And I think my daughter's got three.
Okay. The boys between themselves have four?
Yeah, they have 2 weeks.
They have two each?
2 each.
And they never shower.
But then,
kids.
No, they shower teens. Every dang day. They stink. God, they stink. Yeah, I think that it really, that's a lot of washcloths, though. 20?
20.
20 washcloths?
Never
use
washcloths.
Are you a washcloth guy or a loofah guy or a bare hand guy?
I have a bar soap. Yeah, I'm a bar soap guy, so I don't really
I'm
need
not
them.
A, do we call the little sponge things loofahs?
Yes, that's a loofah.
No, I thought the loofahs are super hard, like in Caddyshack. Loofah on my stretch mark.
You're going on the stick.
That's a loofah. That's an exfoliator. No,
those are the little sponge things.
Those are sponge thingies. I'm a sponge thingy guy.
Me too. Shower gel and sponge thingy.
Not a bar soap guy at all. Never been a big fan of the bar soap guy.
Huge bar soap guy.
Bar soap feels weird.
It does.
You get that like that film?
No. You guys are using the wrong bar soap.
Yeah,
I use Dove for men.
That's fine.
It's got a little exfoliator in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
I mean, it's good. You like women's soap.
Dove for men.
Dove for men, women's soap.
Started as women's soap. Anyway.
Literally.
You stay with
Dove
that one.
For men.
You stay with that there, sir.
It's literally called Dove for men.
Exactly. They're trying to trick you into saying, this is great for men.
Kim's so woke on this.
Yeah.
You know, here. Why don't you grow a pair and put some Irish Spring in your damn house?
Which is another bar of soap.
It's Irish Spring. Magically delicious. Oh, wait a minute. That's Lucky Charms.
That's Lucky Charms.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Anyway, six towels.
Yeah. This texture says you should have four towels per person and five washcloths for a couple. That seems like a decent little
four and five. There. Not a washcloth. I've just never been a fan of washcloths.
Do you have totally separate guest towels? Like that you never use? Or do you basically, when guests come, you just rotate in a clean set for whoever's there?
No. Why have the guest towels? What is the point of a guest towel? Are we assuming that...
For the guest to use.
Your mic is off. Do you want to continue to stop talking?
No. It was on.
No, it went dead.
I might have turned that off.
Yeah.
It was in the conference. It was in conference mode. But
I think guest towels are important. That's something that we do have guest towels, just to let you know.
That you guys never use yourselves?
Yes.
And what is the theory behind that?
When the mother-in-law comes to town or mom comes to town, you give them, like, it's two.
Your towels aren't good enough for that?
No, but they're kids' towels, and I'm not going to give a guest a kid's towel, even though it's been washed.
See, I don't
understand
the difference.
You know what kids do to their towels?
Yo,
they wipe their nose. It's funky smelling.
You wash them.
No crowd, but I would like preferably as a guest. I think you should. It's nice to have an extra set. This is very personal.
Buck, where did you stand on the how many towels does your family need? Because I'm in line with you. I think two per person is more than enough because you don't wash your towel every single day. I'm more of like a once a week, you wash a towel, cycle a new one in.
Yeah,
I mean, I was very interested to see how this turned out because, as you know, we are in the process of acquiring new things for a home. So you need to know exactly what we need to get of everything. And I don't know what the good answer is. I've always rotated two towels, Kim seems to think maybe three towels is better to rotate so you can be washing one, have one hanging, have one using. I don't know.
See, this comes into the Better You text line. This says, those spongy things are disgusting. How often do you replace those washing your booty with them daily? Gross. I go through one a month. But here's the thing. Bar of soap? Bar of soap? How long does a bar of soap last?
Like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Something like that.
3 weeks? Do you have your own bar of soap or does your wife have her?
No, it's my own bar of soap.
Is she a bar of soap or too?
No.
She uses Dove for women for men?
Yes,
for
she women. Does. She does. Uses Dove for men for women.
You realize it's the same dang thing. They just put a different logo on it.
You obviously are not familiar with the scents of That's Dove said, for men.
You just put a little different fragrance in it. I different consider than a logo, bar of sir. Soap grosses me out because if someone else is using a bar of soap and the bar of soap, it's sitting, it just, it's one of those things. And to each their own.
Yeah, no, mine is just for me.
Yeah.
Just for me. Use it every day.
Did you have soap on a rope ever?
Did you
use soap on a rope?
Which, by the way, I had...
Such a college thing.
R.I.P. Karl Lagerfeld. I had a Lagerfeld soap on a rope because my dad used to wear Lagerfeld cologne. And it used to come with like a bar of soap in it. And I remember I got the soap on a rope Lagerfeld scent and RIP Karl Lagerfeld dead at 85 today. So yeah, that was the only soap on a rope that I had.
North Plains Adams got it right here. We have the freaking decorative towels hanging in our master bedroom that I'm never supposed to use or dry my hands.
I'm so but glad then he, I don't
then
have
he does
that.
It spite the wife. I'm assuming that spite the wife.
You have to.
Don't touch those decorative towels.
When she's not there, you just use them and you go.
Yes, I know soap is self-cleaning. I get it, but it's still a little bit creepy that someone's wiping their booty with a bar of soap and I'm supposed to use that next.
Your showering thoughts are pretty
But yeah, pretty you're going to lecture there, me about guy that showers with a beer?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
It's
a bower.
You're gonna lecture beer me shower. About my shower issues?
Showering with a beer is... something that everybody should try at least once. It's fantastic.
I think that is the worst idea.
Oh my gosh, it's so relaxing in there. Nice cold beer, hot shower.
Shower beer is my favorite thing after a day of snowboarding. You're out there all cold all day. You get the hot shower, cold beer. It's perfect.
Boom.
Now showering, beer in the hot tub, I get, but shower in the beer, I'm like,
that, it's a bower.
I don't have time for that.
You just put it in the little caddy there. It stays dry. It's great.
You don't have time for it. It's literally multitasking.
I don't want to multitask in there. I got to shave. I got to get clean and get out of it. We got 2 minutes. Let's go.
Oh, man. Dude, relax a little bit in there. Have a nice little beer
shower.
That's
what a hot tub's for.
Have a nice little beer. What if you don't have one? I don't have a hot tub.
You got a bathtub.
Create my own.
Put your little ambiance with your rest of your. Put some little Dove brand in there. Bubble up with your Dove.
Damn right.
Have white doves flying around
Feel
you
good.
as you're feeling good.
Hey, I have silky smooth skin thanks to my Dove for men, for women, for men.
I bet you do. Congratulations.
Charles Barkley sounds off on one star in the NBA and the league itself. Hear what Chuckster had to say next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.